celebrating 40 years of music and ideas. 91.3 KBCS Bellevue, Seattle, a listener-supported public service of Bellevue College. You're about to listen to a segment from our program, Music and Ideas, hosted by Sonia Green.
Maybe you've wanted to quit your desk job to volunteer your time for a cause overseas, or maybe you've wanted to open your own business and just take a go at living out what might have been a dream at one point, but now seems like a very far reality. Well, today, our guests in the studio, Tay and Val, are going to talk about what it is to live your dream. They're award-winning filmmakers and storytellers, and they're living examples of dreamers who have cycled and traveled across the globe on a project called I Believe That Dreams Can Come True. They started the journey in 2010 and are now based in Seattle as they work through their plans to continue their travels across the U.S. Thank you both for coming into the studio. Thank you, Tay. Thank you, Val.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you.
So, first of all, you came to me in a very interesting manner, and I got an opportunity to look at your YouTubes and some of the things you've been doing with TEDx, et cetera, talking about living your dreams and stuff. So you guys have been on an interesting journey for the last 3 years. I first want to kind of do a rewind to 2010 and tell me a little bit about how this journey got started to document people talking about their dreams and how to live them.
So back at home in Singapore in 2010, both Tay and myself were television producers and directors. We owned our own production company. And it was actually through a chance encounter with an elderly man in Taiwan that inspired us to come onto this journey.
So we call this man's name Luo Baba. Baba in Chinese, it actually means father to us. So we met him by chance, and his entire life's passion is in trains. So what he did was when he was a baby, his mom would have to carry him. When he's crying, you would have to carry him to the train station and he would stop crying. At the age of 5, he would bring a little chair and go sit by the railway station and just sit there and listen to the... And he would jump out and go chase after the trains. And that brings a smile to his face all the time. So when he graduated from college, the first job that he got was to go sweep the floors of the train stations just so that he can be close to the trains. And so he worked there for the next 33 years, made his way up to become a train captain. And at the age of 60, when he was about to retire, everybody thought that he would have had enough of trains. But he told everyone, no, I'm not going to stop this. This is my passion. I'm going to go and buy my own trains and live in them. So he spent his entire pension money, went to the junkyard of the government in Taiwan, bought 2 full carriages of trains that no longer move, towed them all the way to where his house is, and built a train restaurant and a train B&B. That was where we met him. And this 65-year-old man, when we met him, he had more energy and more passion than both of us combined.
So being storytellers ourselves, we just have to ask him why. Because his B&B and his restaurant was literally in the middle of nowhere. It was not a place whereby, you know, you can Google about it. You have to literally key in the coordinates to get there. And so we asked him, why do you have a train homestay and a train restaurant in the middle of nowhere? And he said very coolly, 3 words. The 3 words that changed our lives and inspired this journey. He said, it's my dream. And just as coolly, he walked away.
And there we were that night. We were staring into the ceiling in his train hotel. We just couldn't sleep. You know, we had to ask ourselves, what are our dreams?
And so we spent a couple more days with him. And the next day, just before we were due to leave Taiwan to come back to Singapore, he said, girls, I have a secret to share with you. Now, who can resist a secret, right? So we said, what?
No one can resist a good secret.
So he was like, I have one more dream. We're like, no, you can't. Possibly. You already done enough crazy things. You know, you ditch your college degree for sweeping the trains, and then now you spend your entire savings on junk carriages, and now what? He says, I want to visit every single train station in Taiwan, take a photo, and keep them as my life's journey, and I'll be happy. And we say, well, then we'll just hop on the train and go. And here's the catch. He said, I want to cycle next to the train tracks. That's 3,000 kilometers, 237 train stations for a 65-year-old man. So he said, well, then, uncle, you really need to go now, you know, while you still have energy, while, you know, you can do it. And he said, but his wife wouldn't let him do it because he had no other people to accompany. It was too dangerous for him.
And so my dear friend here, she put up her hand, Val put up her hand and just volunteered to both of us right there and then and say, uncle, please wait for us 6 months and we will come back and chase this journey, this dream with you.
I wasn't thinking.
So the promise was made. But when she made that promise, the old man's eyes lit up as if he was that five-year-old boy again chasing after the train.
So there's no turning back at that point. You have to commit.
Exactly. It was a promise that we have to keep.
And here's the thing. It was only on the plane on the way back to Singapore when Tay nudged me and she said, my dear friend, you do not know how to cycle. You just promised somebody that we're going to go cycling with him.
3,000 kilometers.
What were you thinking? And how are we going to do this? But like I said, you know, when we saw his eyes lit up, you know this was something you had to do. And believe it or not, 6 months later, we began.
So you began your journey there, but you've now been on this journey for 3 years. So what has it been like in the last 3 years? Who else have you encountered in, you know, sharing dreams and finding people who are living their dreams? Who else have you encountered? What other interesting stories have you uncovered about people's dreams and their abilities to either follow them or their ability sometimes to even just tuck them away in a safe place and never revisit them?
So we kind of began this journey to go around the world, to cycle around the world for 5 years. And it started off because of this man, and we went chasing his dream with him. But we didn't realize that this journey that we took with him only lasted 4 days because out of expectation, his mom passed away. And so there we were. We closed our company, left our homes, left our family, left our friends.
Basically, went on a journey where there's no return, and on the fifth morning, we found out that we had to stop.
Yeah, and there was nowhere to go.
And we knew no one else other than the old man in Taiwan. He was our only point of contact.
And it was at this point that a couch surfer, a teacher, took us into her home. Now, her dream was to actually teach English through storytelling in Taiwan. So she took the both of us dejected souls again into her house. And one morning, she was going to go to school and do a storytelling session for the children. So she told the both of us, Tay and Val, why don't you come to the school with me and say hello to the students? So there we were, two dejected souls. We were like, okay, students, say hello. How difficult can that be? We went. And we walked right into an auditorium full of screaming children.
Yeah, we thought we were going to walk into a classroom. We opened the door and it was an auditorium. And they were, you know, children, a little bit crazy, a little bit noisy, a little bit rowdy. And the teacher, her name was Helen, and she was saying, well, how are all of you feeling today? Are we all good and happy? And guess what? The kids yelled back, no! We're like, well done. What have we gotten ourselves into? And Helen went on to introduce us. She said, I have two very special friends here today, and they are going to tell you their story. We're like, Helen, you didn't tell us that. We didn't know we were going to do this. We were totally unprepared. But she just handed us the mics and pushed us out there. And there we were in front of a group of screaming children who said that they're not happy. And we have never done this before. We were nervous, and my friend here, instead of asking, how many of you here have a dream? She asked, how many of us here do not have a dream? Now, you won't expect anyone to raise up their hands, right?
But we were talking about 8 to 10-year-old kids. You will expect them to have dreams.
But there they were, a whole row of kids, right at the back. Their hands shot up straight into the air, almost defiantly. They have no dreams. And there was this awkward, hushed silence as the principal and the teachers shot us a deadly look. And we tried to do our best, and we just went on and tell the story. We talked to them about Luo Papa and his trains. We told them how we managed this impossible feat within 6 months, how I learned cycling, although I fell a lot of times. And at the end of the day, it did become an empowering experience. We have all the kids, you know, queuing up, coming down to share their dreams, and everyone was clapping. And suddenly there was this awkward, hushed silence again. And I noticed it was because the girls who put up their hands and said that they had no dreams, they were walking down the aisle. And I was nervous. I was seriously nervous. I didn't know what they were going to say. And this girl, I assume, was the leader of the gang. She stood in front of everyone, and her fist was clenched very, very tightly. And everyone, by now, was quiet. And after what felt like forever, she finally opened up her hand, and on it wrote, "I will find my dream."
It took a 65-year-old man to give us a tight slap on the left to wake us up and ask ourselves, "Girls, what are your dreams?" It took a 10-year-old girl to slap us on the other side to remind us we started this journey because we wanted to be messengers, we wanted to be reminders. We just wanted to go out there and ask this question, what your dream is. It was never our job to go chase someone else's dreams with them. Everybody's dreams are their own journeys to take. So that was one huge, huge lesson that we learned from the girl who reminded us our initial intentions for the project. Yeah.
So thinking of taking your initial intentions in there and obviously what you're doing now. So as you said, your job is not really to go chasing the dream with people, but to remind them of their dreams. So what are some of the dreams that have come up as people have talked to you about reminders? I heard an interesting experience that you had with a group of journalists in Mexico. You want to talk a little bit about that experience?
That experience was really a humbling one for us because we still are media practitioners like yourself too, Sonia. We know the power we have through the media, the voice that we lend, and you know the words that we write and the photographs that we take. But in Latin America, especially in Mexico, it was very interesting because every time we cycle past a newspaper stand, it would be filled with papers and all their front pages were gory pictures, and headlines, as much as we could make out from the Spanish, were gory headlines. It felt to us almost as if the papers were competing with each other. How more gruesome can they depict a particular murder or accident or, you know, a violent incident? And I looked at Tay, I was like, this feels really strange. I mean, why do they always have such horrendous photos all over their papers?
And so it started out almost defiantly. We wanted to almost give these reporters and these news people something more inspiring to write about. We wanted to challenge them to put our photos, our project, on their front page instead of a murder report. Instead of a dead body, instead of something that's so gruesome.
Oh, that's a big challenge to go after them, to put something positive on there when you're seeing all these negative pictures. Just want to remind our listeners, talking to Tay and Val, and they are storytellers and filmmakers of a project called I Believe That Dreams Come True, and we're talking about their experience in Mexico with some Latin journalists. So continue on. So you challenged them that put us on the cover of your newspapers. And so how did that go?
So what we did was, in every town, every city that we landed ourselves in, we would, you know, go through all sorts of means, Facebook, Twitter, emails, phone calls, and we tell them, you know, we are here, we're only here for 2 days, 3 days, we'll like to have an interview with you. And in Veracruz, one of the biggest cities in Mexico, this reporter took our story up immediately, and he said, "I'd like to meet the two of you." Before we could even settle down, the first question he asked us was, "Are you on this journey because you want to be famous? Are you trying to make a name for yourselves? What are your ulterior motives?" Like, ooh.
He was immediately looking for the angle there. Yeah, okay. And to which you responded, Val?
So we told him the story about why this whole journey started. And we told him, we asked him, why did you become a journalist in the first place? Do you remember why did you join the newspaper? What had you wanted to do? And he went silent for a long, 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 long time. And after that, he told us, I want you to come and meet our board of directors.
No, he actually said, I want you to meet my jefe. And jefe means chief. So we thought, oh, he's editor, supervisor, whatever, you know. We'll just go. Why not, right? So he brought us to this big, tall, very serious-looking building. And then we walked in. And he was like, wait here for a moment. And then in a moment, he came and collected us. We went to the top floor. And before I knew it, we were standing in front of the entire board of directors. Like, hi. I don't know why I'm here, but hi anyway. And he went on in a string of Spanish. He spoke to them about us. And he said, my boss here, which is apparently the big bosses, would like you to say a few words to them. And so we asked them the same question. We said, we've traveled around the world asking people one question. What is your dream? But that's not the question we are here to ask today. We would like to ask every single person here, why did you take up media? The next time you pick up your pen, the next time you click send on the email, the next time you click the shutter on your camera, remember why. And we left with a standing ovation.
That's pretty amazing. So obviously you touched on something for them, and maybe and as you said, in terms of the intention of what you set out to do, it sounds like that was a really big aha moment for those journalists to kind of be reminded of their dream. That's pretty incredible. Well, so 3 years, how have you made it? How have you continued to make this travel work in the last 3 years? And you're both kind of laughing, so I feel like there's a lot of stories there, but we are getting a little closer to time, so if you can shorten the answer, because I definitely want us to talk a little bit about, you know, where people can find you. So in the short term, how are you making it happen? How are you continuing to stay on this journey of asking people that ultimate question of what is your dream?
I think this question, what is your dream, is an age-old question. It's likened to who am I and or why am I here? It's a question of humanity, and therefore it has been humanity that has been funding us, that has been helping us travel every single step of the way. Every mile that we manage to paddle, every person we manage to meet, every heart we manage to touch, and every life we manage to change and inspire has been possible only because of the goodness and kindness in humanity.
So our way of continuing this journey is to keep asking this question every day to every single person that we meet, including you.
Oh, am I supposed to answer right now? Only because I'm on the air and I am short of time, but I will offline. We will talk about it, ladies. We will talk about it, Tay and Bao. I'm all about talking about dreams. I love what you're doing, though. I love that you contacted us and gave us an opportunity to pose that question to our listeners and maybe have them thinking about that as well and reminding them of their dreams. Now, how can people find out more? Do you have any other plans to do anything in Seattle? Because I know you've already done a TED talk, a TEDx talk, right? So any other things on the horizon that people should know about, and also websites, make sure we put any information out there that our listeners can find you.
So this coming Saturday at the University District Farmers Market, Tay and Val, that's me, and our bicycles, we will be there collecting dreams. So please come and say hi, and please volunteer yourself so that we can collect your dreams. What we do is we get you to Sharpie your dreams on your hands, and we take a photograph and we post it on our Facebook and website, creating a chain of dreams, inspiring dreams. And you can find out more about us and information on our events and workshops at www.ibelievethatdreamscancometrue.com.
I believe that dreams can come true.com. We will have a link to that on our website as well at kbcs.fm. Thank you, Val and Tay, for coming in. Certainly appreciate your time.